is going to work perfectly. No system is foolproof. This system works when you actually have Brahmanas being Brahmanas, when you have a Confucian rectification of name. Nevertheless, this is Krishna's system. Everything that we put in place by our own concoction turns out to be much worse. Every time we try to fix it, we make it worse. And we try to fix that and it gets worse yet, and we try to fix that and it gets worse yet. But we also should understand when things go wrong, why they go wrong, and how they should be corrected. And the main thing, of course, we have to avoid is a fragmental part of a hierarchical system. It has to be a complete whole. People have been taking the Isha Upanishad course. You have Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. They're part of the complete whole. And when everything is working together, each part becomes complete in itself. And that's the vision that we are looking for in this. So now that's what I have to say about where do we go from here, the steps. So now we can go into any other ideas or questions or go on. Yes.
First of all, it was wonderful to give this vision, and to hear especially about family life. It's really touching the heart for people who live in 10 or 20 years under the pressure of fortune.
Yeah.
But still, I see a problem, or I have a question. What to do with this 80% or 90% of the people who can't follow vows, keep vows, who can't live in a marriage with parents, since divorce is not possible? How to take away this pressure, to make them even more sick? How to give them
run, I guess we're just going to have to do the best we can. I don't think this system is something we have to work toward. And we have to deal with people the way they are now, and you're not going to be able to take somebody and do a complete psychological makeover instantly. We should know what direction we're headed in. And it will take a number of generations, I think, if each generation is a little improvement to get better like that. Otherwise, we just try to give people as much Krishna consciousness as possible. In the Varnashram system, it's very clear in the seventh. I'll get this out. You look at the seventh canto. It talks about people who can't live in the system, and there's places outside the system for them, and that will happen. I mean, Prabhupada mentions aboriginal people. Those are outside the system. And, I could imagine the future where, like, you had a wide area of land in which there were Krishna-conscious communities and people were following Varnashram Dharma. You might get aborigines coming back again. Well, maybe the original ones over here are gone, but some hippie tribe might go to live in the forest and dress in animal skins. I think some groups may be headed that way already. And there's a place for them outside the system. In the seventh canto, it talks about these different sorts. And that's where it makes the statement get past the Sri Dharma here. It talks about thieves, for example, and they also have their hereditary customs. There's a culture of thieves. And it also mentions what are these people who can't follow this system? That's where it says, if an agricultural field is cultivated again and again, the power of its production decreases, and whatever seeds are sown there are lost. Just as drops of ghee on a fire will never extinguish the fire, but a flood of ghee will, similarly, overindulgence in lusty desires mitigate such desires entirely. What to do with people that can't follow any principles? Well, let them have their own place. Stand back. those people can enjoy sinful activities all they like. No problem, because you have a different standard from us. You know, for you, this is your standard. So there's even a relativity built into the system. But you follow your own standard. And there's honor among thieves. You follow your own standard and indulge in these desires. And then the hope is that, you know, one day they'll get the chance that these activities will become detestable to them, and they'll get the opportunity to become purified. So actually the system recommends that for some people there's going to be too much pressure to follow the system, even with the allowances of the different ashrams and the different varnas. So that there's this place for you too. So we can take some place like New York City or and set it aside. The gentleman will live in Philadelphia, right? This is Canto 7, Chapter 11. They also said, Narada Muni says, if one shows the symptoms of being a Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, or Shudra, even if he appears in a different class, he should be accepting according to those symptoms of classification. By the way, that verse is in here. Okay? Anything else? Yes.
You mentioned that divorce is not an option and that children need stability and security. I think that's very important, and I think it's regrettable that many people take their marriage vows too lightly. But at the same time, I think we also need to recognize that there are times when divorce is not only an option but also the healthiest thing, both for the wife and for the children, and that's in the case of abuse of marriage, which can be extremely harmful for the children and for the wife. Well,
yeah, I agree with that.
And I just hate for women to think that they're somehow being invaded by
I think that but before you divorce, every other step must be taken to end that relationship. In those activities in that relationship, rather. Yeah?
Prabhupada was in favor of separation.
Yeah, Prabhupada was in favor in that case of separation. He was not in favor of... It's not actually divorce that's, in a sense, outlawed. What it is remarriage, which Prabhupada was very strong about. And that's something to think about, anyway. Because not having remarriage also can present ways to deal with that, but that's what he said. But yeah, definitely separation in that case he definitely allowed for. Mm-hmm. That's true. Yeah, don't put up, that's right. I mean, the whole thing is that there should not be in this thing anywhere abuse of power. And if the system is going to work, the abuse of power has to be corrected and mitigated on every possible level. Mm-hmm. I have some questions here. Yeah. Yeah.
If I would try to distill one underlying principle of Varnashram, what comes to mind after your presentation is the natural hierarchical order of things, which mm-hmm. is there by nature. Could you, because it seems to be, am I correct? This is very important.
Yes. Yeah.
Why did Krishna make the world like this? As a free-floating competition place where the where according to what appears, someone takes on a position. In other words, why did he make it that the women are inferior to men
in the hierarchy,
in the hierarchical order? And why not just look now, why not mix it up according to qualifications which arise naturally?
Well, the qualifications do arise naturally. That's the whole point of it. I mean, Krishna made it. That means what's natural means what Krishna has made. Could he have made it differently? Well, I don't know. He's God, but I once asked Prabhupada, you know, why does Krishna need demigods to run the universe? You know, he's all powerful. Prabhupada said to me, you don't know how to run the universe. That's true, I don't, you know. So, I mean, in one sense, I have to defer to Krishna's judgment in this matter. Why he did it this particular way? And sometimes we think if I was God, I could do it better. But that's probably a mistake. Big mistake. But let me say that there are different levels in this universe for the accommodation of the different desires of living entities. And what the Varnashram Dharma system does is accommodate those desires and regulate them in a certain way so that everybody can make spiritual advancement. If you don't have the system, there's still going to be better or worse, controller and control, power, weakness. These things are going to be there. But what will happen will be disorder, and it will not be conducive to people's spiritual development. So it seems to me that's what the system, it takes advantage of these goodness, passion, and ignorance, and orders them in a certain way so that everybody can make spiritual advancement. When the mode of ignorance is in control, as sometimes can happen, then you know, there will not be any, or even the mode of passion, there's spiritual advancement. The whole purpose of human life becomes blocked. And we don't make spiritual advancement. And what's the use of the world? Yeah.
Well, I think there's a big misunderstanding in this relationship, man and women. Men are superior and woman is subordinate. It's something within marriage. You can't say that generally. You can maybe take the most intelligent, dominant woman of the world in relationship to the most degraded.
Yeah, sure.
Man in the world, and that the man is superior to these women. Mm-hmm. It's completely wrong.
No, that's not what he's talking about.
You know, but usually the devotees fall into things like that.
So what it means is that in the natural order of things, you know, this is the order. But somebody in their own order, huh? What? I was looking. I always think it says Brahman Kachya Vaishya. It's in my mind, you know. But there is a natural order. One thing is, of course, is women of the same quality should be married to men of the same quality. When Prabhupada was in the Philadelphia airport, my daughter, how old was she then? Like 8 years, 8 years old. So she had all these bangles on her, and he just rose and rose. She, every time she moved around, shrunk. So we were just sitting there, and Prabhupada was watching her, and he said, oh, they like those here too, meaning girls in the West, they like this bangle system. And he was watching the bangles, and he looks at me and he says, better marry her to a kshatriya. And then one of the GBC, she in Gurukul, she was very, very, their best Sanskrit student, so the GBC asked her to recite some verse in Bhagavad Gita, you know, and gave her the number, and she just rattled the verse off. The Prabhupada says, oh, better make it a Brahmana.